first time to stand and to be here on a Friday. And so it's a great blessing, and I'm excited. Amen. So I just wanted to share something that God put in my heart, and really it's about the message of Christmas. And it's about the significance of the birth of Christ. And you see, when we think of Christmas, Christmas has many meanings to many different people. For them, for many, it's a holiday. It's a public holiday, so we can sleep up to 11 a.m. or sleep up to midnight and just wake up to eat and sleep some more. For others, it's really a time for travel. There are those who take a break, go see their family members, travel to Cox's Bazaar or to Thailand and all these places and just enjoy themselves. And of course, for the business people, it's the most profitable time of the year. And as I just said earlier, that if you're planning to buy clothes for Christmas, buy in April. They're much cheaper then. But everything that you buy now, if you travel, everything is double, triple the cost. Because, I mean, they say it's Christmas, it's time to make money. And of course, there are those who it's time to eat and feast. And I know maybe you're here and you're still having some stomach rumblings because of the excessive consumption of food. But that also has its place. So there are those who Christmas really has been a time to eat. But of course, there are those who engage in reckless drinking and reckless driving and immorality, and those who lost their lives during this time because of celebration, in quotes. But then also, that those who also use Christmas as a time to visit their families and to just spend time with their loved ones and have a good time and really enjoy the blessing of family. I cannot forget those who attend church only on Christmas, because for some it's, I call it renewing their annual yearly subscription of church attendance. So they come every Christmas, and if they are lucky, every Easter. So yearly, the Christmas is very full. The Christmas service, I think, you need overflows because we have many visitors. But why is Christmas so important as a believer, and what does it mean to us? And really, that's what I would love to share today. And for me, first of all, I would say that Christmas is a revelation of God to man. When we celebrate Christmas, you have to divide that word into two, Christ and Mass. That means that we are speaking about Christ, about the birth of Christ, because the angel announced that today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. And that Christ word means King. You see, Christ, if you think about it, the Jews were waiting for the Messiah. And the Messiah is Hebrew for the same thing that the Greeks call Christ. So Messiah and Christ are the same word. And so to them, they knew that they were expecting a king, one that will deliver them, one that will put Israel on the highest map to be the greatest nation in the world. And to them, they were really expecting someone who will come as a conqueror. And that's why anyone that will bring an insurrection, you know, like Barabbas, the one who was rescued, who was exchanged for Jesus, he had raised up an insurrection. That means he had done a demonstration and an attempt to overthrow the Roman government, and he was put in prison. So they expected a Messiah that was mighty, physical, and able to send them out of Roman captivity. But you see, that was not the plan of God. The plan of God was to send a Savior that will deliver us from the greatest enemy of man, who is the devil and sin. because it is a sin that separated man from God. So this God that we do not see, this invisible God, desired to reveal himself to mankind. And how will he do it? Because if he came as he is, we cannot see him, because we exist in the realm of what you can touch. Scientists, we call it empirical evidence, what you can test with, you know, science, you can touch, you can feel, three-dimensional world. But you see, God is over and above that dimension of that world. Our God exists in the spirit, and he is spirit. And that's why he says, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Because we cannot just worship him as we think. We have to learn from him. So what God does in Christmas is that he sends his son. He sends his image. He sends the exact representation of his being, who is the Son, who is Jesus Christ, who comes as a man. Our God came and walked this earth as a man. He took on flesh and blood, just like you and me. He was tempted in every way. He was found not to be with sin. And that is why he could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. God needed to reveal himself to man. So he brought the invisible and made it visible. He brought the supernatural and he entered into the natural world. The angels say that the virgin shall conceive and will give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Think for a moment. There are those who have to look for their God in certain locations. That means when they have traveled, they are away from their God. But you see, the God that we serve, he is with us. He is for us. And he is in us. And he walks alongside us. Can you imagine how much majesty that he is everywhere? He is with us. He is for us. He is alongside us. And beyond it, that blows our mind, he lives inside us. And the Bible says that, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you? We think of church as a building, but you are the church. God lives in you. Solomon, when he made the temple, he had to pray that, God, if you can find it to come and dwell in this temple. I know you don't dwell in temples made by human hands. That temple that his greatest desire to live in was you and me. That's why the Bible says that he became a partaker of flesh and blood. And that's why he knows pain, because he was beaten. He knows hunger as he fasted. He knows tiredness. He slept. He knows the loss. He lost his father. He knows the pain of death. And the Bible says he tasted death for each and every one of us. And that is why today, when you put your hope in him, you don't die. The Bible says we believers, we only sleep. He gives us eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is everlasting life. It means that it is perpetual. That means it's no longer just forever life, but it is past, present, and future. God says that he has come to give us eternal life, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not die, but shall have everlasting life. That life, that means that you are in an endless life. That means that when your time comes to leave this earth, the Bible says, do not mourn about those who sleep in death, because they just rest. Paul says that, you know, I have to decide, should I go on living or should I go to be with the Lord, which is far much greater glory. He just says, okay, I will stay for your sake. When you are in Christ, you are made a new creation. The Bible says the old has gone and the new has come. And all things are of God. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sin against them. You see, Christmas means that God came to pay the price for our sins. That is what we call redemption. Think of a slave. Think of someone who, or even if you're not a slave, think you have a debt from the bank. And the bank is about to repossess your home, is about to possess your family property, is about to throw you in jail, and someone who you do not know comes and says, I will pay his debt. Not only will I pay his debt, I will give him a brand new house. I will give him a car. And he pays that debt. And he takes your place. So, Christmas means that the birth of Christ, someone came to pay every price that was needed for you to be a child of God. Adam messed it up. He messed it up for all of us. And he brought a separation between God and man. The sin that Adam did. The Bible says, because Adam sinned, all men sinned. But you see, God sent the second Adam. The Bible refers to Christ as the second, not that there will be a third, the second and the last Adam. That means that the Christ that came was not just, he came as the last Adam to come and defeat the devil, to fight the battle that Adam failed, and he fought it and he gave the victory to you and me. The Bible says, as all of us bore the image of Adam, which is that sin, we who are born again shall also bear the image of the man from above. When the Bible says you are born again, that means you are born from above. You bear the image of the Christ who came from above. Redemption is payment. And not just payment, full payment. God has paid for every sin that you can think of. He has paid for it. And that is the message that he says to them that believe. Can you believe that someone paid that price? And then he does not only pay the price for you, he says he comes to give you an abundant life. John 10 verse 10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you may have life, and life in abundance. If redemption was just the plan of God, anyone who gets saved should go to heaven immediately. God should not need to wait for you to stay on the earth and mess up again. Because I was talking with someone and I said, but what will happen if I mess up again? You see, God, in his love and mercy, all he says, this is the work of the Lord. Believe in the one he sent. What does that mean? It means that when he sent Christ to us and he dies for us, he becomes our scapegoat, or he becomes our exchange point. That means that we come under his cover. When God looks at us, He no longer sees us, he sees Christ. Why? Because our lives are hidden in Christ. Anyone that believes in Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives comes and is baptized into Christ. You become a part of his body. You become a part of him. And you enter into a new life, which is an abundant life. And the Bible, if you look at that word abundant, if you look at the details of it, it says a life of preeminence, a life of victory, a life that puts you at an advantage. When you go for interviews, usually some people come with nice suits. Others, because they know the owner, they know they have an advantage. Now, Christ is your advantage for life. Can you imagine when he says he has given you his spirit to live in you? He has given you the mind of Christ. That means your thoughts are thoughts of God. Your decisions are led by God. That thing that you even did not know how you did it, it was God that led you. And he calls you righteous. He pays for your righteousness. And you see, the thing about God that amazes me is when he calls something, it has to become. So when God calls you righteous, no matter how you struggle, the end result, you become what God has called you. You become what God has called you. I want to conclude this way. God has left us a written will of every promise that he has for the new believer and for the new creation. When your father leaves your will and you never read it, you can live and die a poor man. Your father can leave you 10 houses, but if you never open the will to read it, squatters will take your land and they will enjoy it. And you can die without never experiencing all the blessings that God has for you in the Christian life. But you see, everything that is written is for you. It's written in the Word of God. Each of us, you can open the Word of God and see every promise that God has for you. You just don't know what is available for you. His promises, when he says this is the year of the Lord's favor, that means that his favor, God has poured favor for you. You are God's favorite. He loves you. He's concerned for you. And all he says is, believe in me. That I am the Son of God. And I came to pay the price for your sin. If you believe it, then you can become also a son of God. Because the Bible says he came to his own. To those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the power or the right to become sons of God, to become children of God. Children not born of a parent's will or of a husband's will, but born of God. From that moment you accept Christ, you are no longer a Bangladeshi. You are no longer an African. You are no longer, but you are, you receive a new citizenship, which is your citizenship, which is of heaven. And you enter into a new family where I meet a Chinese and he's a Christian and he is my brother. When you come to a new country and you find the house of God and you say, like Jesus, I am in my Father's house. And that is why you can serve. Because when you are at home, you don't need to be served. You see what is missing and you do it. Sons don't need to be asked to do things. Any responsible child sees what is wrong in the house and does it.
You want to be a child of God? Don't just be a baby in the house of God. Grow up and become a mature son. Do something for the house of God. Not just this house, also the whole of creation. Be it a doctor, be it a nurse, be it an engineer, be it an accountant, be it a musician. Do it for the glory of God. Do it as God would have you do it. When you discover who you are, when you discover God, then you discover the right to know who you are. Your destiny is locked up in your knowledge of God. I will close there. Welcome, Pastor.